today, our guest is Fatma.
Thank you, Abdullahi.
Today we'll be discussing about education in Northern Kenya, and you as an educationist, Fatma, why does Northern Kenya score very poorly in almost all the matrices on education, that is school attendance, transition? As an educator, why is this such a big problem in Northern Kenya?
There could be very many reasons, and it's something we've been struggling with. The community has tried its best in terms of, you know, creating awareness on why people should go to schools. But again, I think there are quite a number of variables that could be affecting this. And to start with, I think the schools themselves might not be adequate and might not be in tandem with the culture of the community, who majority get to move from one place to another. And apart from those who settle in urban areas, quite a number are pastoralists, and they keep on moving from a place to another depending on where they get the pasture for their animals. And most of the schools' infrastructure do not also provide a boarding facility. In the initial years, I remember when we were starting the first early schools, there used to be boarding schools. So the boarding provided at least room for children who come from pastoralist homes, where they could board at the school and conveniently join the families during the holidays. But of late, majority of the government public schools that have come into place do not have the boarding wing. And also generally, the community, I think, would require quite a number of role models to show the reason why someone who's gone to school is different from one who's never gone to school. So most likely also there's the element of role modeling. The few who are educated who remain in those areas are equivalently few. So in general terms, you can easily say there are quite a number of variables that affect. And also we've not had adequate or rather policies that deliberately take care of the interest of people in Northern Kenya. Like the policies of you know, reaching out, integration, helping children from such communities feel that they belong and integrate with their culture. The books, the content of the curriculum needs to also look like something that's offering a solution. When most of the pictures they see in the books do not replicate their lifestyles, do not resonate, do not carry names of children like their names. They kind of also disassociate. So generally you'd say also we have disadvantaged ourselves by not being able to deliberately reach out to such communities to help them belong. However, one important aspect also is the lack of adequate teachers and lack of adequate qualified teachers, for that sake. Because majority of the teachers who teach in Northern Kenya are either people who are not, who out of desperation are willing to go to those faraway places. And majority are not locals. They're people who do not associate with the culture of the people, who have got no very good understanding of the communities and how the communities work and what works well for them and what does not work for them. Then you would say the initial years, most of the people who used to be sent to Northern Kenya were either amateurs as teachers or teachers who would be taken there on disciplinary ground. Although of late, the element of transferring teachers with disciplinary issues is kind of controlled, but again, majority are new. Most of the new recruits are the ones who usually are sent to are usually sent to such places. So therefore, that provides that equivalently disadvantages the community and their interests in education.
Thank you so much, Sister Fatma. That is, there are just a lot of factors at play. You mentioned about, you know, teachers who do not come from the region. You know, Mandera governor said over 120 school kids have dropped out of school because of insecurity. You know, how has insecurity generally, but also if you add Al-Shabaab, how has this affected the region's education, and probably what are some of the, you know, immediate solutions?
Insecurity is actually one of the biggest impediments for now. And that has also been used as an excuse of not sending teachers. Interestingly, in other sectors of government, staff are there. The security officers, people who work in the health sector, in other sectors, but surprisingly, teachers are not there. And this was followed by an incident that happened in Wajir, where a number of teachers were killed, and all teachers were withdrawn by the Teacher Service Commission from the entire region. So insecurity is really a major impediment of the growth, the economic growth of the place, and also the growth of education in general. Schools with no teachers, children are exposed to more danger of harming themselves. And you know, and that's why the dropout rates are increasing. Instead of reducing, the dropout rates are increasing. And the sad thing is, when such children drop out of school, they are vulnerable, and they would they can easily be radicalized because of that exclusion from a proper system where they are getting educated. They're realizing their dreams in life of going to school and becoming who they want to be is cut short. So most probably out of desperation, others might easily get recruited and you know, become even much more radical. What can be done is there needs to be addressed. It needs to be addressed as a security matter, not as an education matter. Because the moment the security seems to feel like there's inaction of police, or rather there's inaction of security agencies to overcome this situation, to overcome these challenges, then it not only displays desperation from the side of government, but it's like ceding and giving up to criminals. And again, that sends also the wrong message. So it really needs a very well-calculated approach by the security agents together with the communities, working with the community itself, to be able to overcome the challenges of violent extremism, so that these areas are open and an infrastructure is developed and schools get their teachers back.
And in this kind of environment that you've described, all the structural problems that you've explained before, as well as insecurity, and if you consider that, you know, this region is largely occupied by pastoralist communities, even during other periods, girls do not get chance to go to school compared to the boys. How has this situation affected girls in attending or attaining their education? And are there ways of, you know, changing some of the societal norms around girls attending schools?
Okay, girls are affected generally the same as boys, the same way, but much more the way boys are affected. Other general issues of economic disempowerment, or rather coming from poor homes where parents cannot afford their uniform, the little expenses that are required to take a child to school. The girl still has much more challenges, like meeting her needs as a girl, particularly those at the teenage ages, and very basic things like sanitary towels, like, you know, basic stuff that a girl would use. Then again, also the society, there's that cultural norm where a girl's needs, or rather the journey of a girl in education is not very supported, very much supported by maybe the perception the community has, because it's felt that at the end of the day, a girl will get married and you know, there's no need of investing so much in her. And that would also create an impediment for girls, especially when they come from homes where they have to make choices on who to educate and who to leave out. It's easy to leave out the girl, assuming that she will still be taken care of by a man, and therefore she may not need the education that the boy needs. So the best way of overcoming this, I like the religious entry where education education to girls is considered a much more powerful thing to do, and the girl is seen as the mother of a nation. And when you educate a girl, you know, well, you are educating actually a nation. So with the awareness we create in Islam and try to, you know, talk to people about why it's important to educate a girl has really been working for us. And you know, talking to mothers, talking to parents, and telling them it's important to have your daughter educated because she only becomes a better mother and she builds a better future for the generations to come. So that awareness creation needs to be supported. The schools where Islamic subjects are taught provide a safe environment for girls because they are very empowering, because the girls are taught their rights. But they do have rights to get education. They do have rights to, you know, a career. They do have rights to grow alongside the boy. So there's a lot of advantage in teaching girls Islam. Personally, I've seen a very big intervention in teaching girls Islamic education and mothers as well. Talking to them and seeing how the girl is an important person in the society and how women are glorified in the religion. So that really has been very helpful to help overcome. But of course, again, this is information that doesn't reach everybody. And again, many would not comprehend what actually maybe this means. But and this is what also government has failed to support. The assumption that religious teaching or rather religious education is the business of individuals. These are some of the policies. If there was an outright way of reaching out to employ more IRE teachers and have them in the schools, then many parents would ideally be bringing their children, would be bringing their children to school. So I feel strongly that we possibly need to radically, you know, understand that by actually offering an opportunity for these girls to be conscious of an alternative in Islam would be a very good way to intervene and help them see the sense in you know, staying in school, even remaining in school until at such a time when they can pursue further education. So that is very little, but again, also it contributes a great deal.
Yeah.
Because we're looking for issues of social change, of things that can turn around things for people. The effects when it's divine, when you show a divine entry, is much more helpful than just you know, statements done by other people and people whom ordinarily they would feel they are alienated from their own culture and their beliefs and practices.
No, thank you. And then finally, you know, we've had devolution. To what extent it has helped? We're going into an election, and how you know what people need to do for the devolution to work, especially in the field of education in the north.
The bit about devolution is that generally we are realizing a big difference in terms of, you know, cities growing, people getting jobs, you know, like infrastructure development, maybe even very simple things like having a governor's office. These are things that, you know, that's a symbol of governance. That's a symbol of government, creating the importance of government, certain services being available at the local, for the locals. In education specifically, the focus has been in devolution, early childhood. And early childhood is the most important entry and the foundational entry into education. So if that is handled well, and we've seen quite a number of this, our governments have really tried to focus on the early childhood, improvement of the early childhood. Now they have trained teachers. They never used to have majority trained teachers. The county governments are able to provide them with the material, learning material, and help them develop these materials, provide them with training and support. Out of that, most of the counties are also sponsoring children to study in good schools, even outside their own counties, at least to get an opportunity to study, and they're given scholarships in areas of education, areas of health. So that in itself is something very motivating, and it's working. But sadly, again, there has been rhetoric, there has been a new narrative being created, like we are being overcompensated, which is a lie. People completely forget that we were left behind for the last 50 years, and whatever little that's now being given through the county governments is just a drop in the ocean to help communities recover. We lack very basic infrastructure, basically just like roads. Most of the insecurity is contributed by lack of those roads. The security agents can't patrol because the roads are terrible. Other places, there are no entries. So this new narrative is really harming the interests of the counties in the Northern Kenya, assuming that the little we've started receiving in the last few years is too much for us and we don't deserve. That in itself alienates us further, and also shows clearly that there are people who actually do not have an understanding that when one big section of the country is disadvantaged and marginalized, it affects the entire growth of the country itself. Because the Northern Kenya region is a very big portion of Kenya. It sits on almost a half of the landmass. And assuming that people who occupy these places and these places themselves are irrelevant and ought not to be developed, it is a disadvantage to all of us. And that's what I would wish to say on that particular question.
No, thank you so much, Sister Fatma. I hope we'll have another time to have a conversation, but thank you so much.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much.
You too. You too.